That's the anchor Crowder on this last day of November, WWIB, and letting you know that comes off Milk and Honey, our musical gift offer here during November or Govember. So it's Giving Tuesday as well. So if you're so inclined, with a suggested donation of $45 or more tax deductible to WIB Incorporated, we'd love to hear from you here. You can give online, always safely and securely at WWIB.com. So consider that today, and we'd love to hear from you. All right, let's get this show started. The 5-minute segment called the Best 5 Minutes of the Day, which usually runs longer than 5 minutes. And we welcome in Jason Cans. Good morning.
Good morning. I think maybe the best part about the Best 5 minutes is that it runs longer than 5 minutes.
That is nice. I mean, working that is a little tricky sometimes, but if you had that power time, wouldn't that be nice? For sure. So, all right, well,
absolutely.
It is Giving Tuesday today, so keep that in mind. Certainly WIB Incorporated, but also we've been trying to raise $4,500 for the Feed My People food pantry. We're going to have guests in here tomorrow in that regard, and I don't know. I prayed about it, so I'm going to announce after 7:30 how I felt led in that regard. So anyhow, any particular thought or cause in your mind on a Giving Tuesday today?
Well, you know, I certainly saw something about Teamwork Africa that popped up for me.
Yeah.
And, you know, that showed up in my feed. And I've donated to Teamwork Africa in the past. And I'm not just saying this because your wife got the organization off the ground. But I think they do really important work. You know, and this time of year, it's always kind of thinking about how can we best love the world, love those around us. And I think trying to pay attention to that, you know, thinking of some places where we can give or donate is a good idea.
There are certainly a lot of options. Well, thank you for that. I appreciate it. One thing that comes to mind to me, I was reading, I'm not going to name any of the people, but there was a well-known Christian author. What I want to deal with is, what's the problem that Christians have with Mr. Rogers? Now, I say that a lot of us are big fans. There was the documentary, the Tom Hanks movie. But what I see, a lot of times people kind of put it down. And so, for instance, there was a best-selling Christian author in Days Gone By, and he was kind of demeaning in his language toward, you know, say, you want to be sort of, weak like Mr. Rogers. This book I was reading last night is not as well known, but similarly used Mr. Rogers as maybe the picture of soft. And I was at a men's conference in June that similarly showed a segment, and it was like that's, you know, not completely and totally, but in general. And my wife and I both agree, like, he's about as Christ-like as we can think. So I don't get it. I mean,
yeah.
So thoughts on that?
Yeah, you know, I think one of the issues that we sometimes run into is the culture in which we live has so deeply distorted the concept of Christ-likeness, of masculinity, that we look at someone who seems to exude gentleness, love, welcome, kindness, and we think that it's soft or inappropriate, you know. And so often some of our Christian leaders, I think the rise and fall of Mars Hill was a good insight into that, come across as brash and self-centered, and we begin to think that that's what represents a true Christ-like manner. You know, a guy wearing loafers and a cardigan is viewed as somehow less than. But, you know, I think that for me, I often see this imagery of this hyper-masculine Jesus. People, I think, forget that he was gentle, right? He certainly had hard words at times, but with the downtrodden, with the broken, he was as gentle as they come. I think for me, that's one of the things that seems to stand out.
Yeah, I mean, the disciples tried to shoo the kids away. Jesus is like, let the little children come to me. Nobody better with that than
right.
Mr. Rogers. The 143, that was his weight as he was a consistent early morning swimmer. It stood for I Love, which had four letters, you, three letters. I mean, the champion of love and loving kids, the bravery he showed in terms of racially divided times with the African-American character, the police officer Clarence on his show.
Yep.
I don't know. It just is the, and I think a book that we've both have read, Jesus and John Wayne from Kristen Dumez, is something worth picking up. I mean, I think sometimes nothing against John Wayne, I guess, but it's just, what is it we're after? What is it we think is a better picture? And I'm with Peggy as we had this conversation just last night. Like, that's about as good a target, Mr. Rogers. I'm in a Mr. Rogers Facebook group with quotes that come out, and they're always spot on, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and I something else I think that just came to mind for me was, again, this notion of we think that we should be somehow come in and take over. And I think that's what people expected of the Messiah when he came, was that he was going to come in and clean house.
Mm-hmm.
And he didn't. And I think we still expect that. And so when somebody like Mr. Rogers comes along, we say, this can't be it. Because it is, you know, he wasn't seeking power. He was seeking love.
Yeah. Well, and as we close, think of the way he would start a lot of his talks, if he was speaking somewhere, would be asking the audience, was there a particular individual or an educator who really impacted your life? And before we get started, let's just take a moment and think about that person and the impact they had on you. So we'll do that as we say goodbye to you. Love you, my brother from another mother. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Love you, too. Talk to you tomorrow.
There we go. Bye. WWIB, good to have you aboard here this morning. Good morning to Susan.
Good morning. I love listening to your show in the morning. Thought-provoking, interesting, wonderful.
Good.
So thanks for getting up and doing that.
My show's your show. So there, we have that in common.
Yours is a little better, but I'm learning.
Well, we found this list from Stacker.com of the most popular Christmas toys in the year of our birth, and this goes all the way back to 1920, which is not when any of us were born, but as we go through the ages, we find these top Christmas toys from the year each of us was born. So I'll start.
Okay.
1987 is the year of my birth. Jenga was the most popular Christmas toy.
I'm sorry, it seems like Jenga was just invented, but I believe you.
Original estimated retail price, $12. Of course, Jenga involves removing blocks from a tower one at a time until said tower topples over. It debuted in 1983, but took a few years to catch on. And then in 87, then it became the really popular toy. Interestingly enough, I looked at the year beforehand, 1986, the year of my older brother's birth. And then the most popular toy was the Nintendo gaming system, the NES, the original, estimated retail price, $200.
Ooh.
So I think I was born in kind of a budget gifting year. And that fits me. So
and also, now there's giant Jenga, which you can get from
lawn Jenga and stuff.
Yes, it's very fun because if you have a really tippy table like we do, and there's less tiers when you play with a giant Jenga, which is made of little chunks of 2x4s that you buy on Etsy or make yourself. I love Jenga.
One final fun fact, entrepreneur Robert Grebler is responsible for bringing the game to North America, holds the record for the tallest known Jenga tower, 40 levels.
What?
Wow.
A talent.
Wow. Okay, Mark, how about you? Let's go age before beauty.
All right. There we go. 1964, G.I. Joe. And I had one of these growing up. Yeah.
Wait. Go ahead.
I've said before.
You've talked about it.
You pull the string. I have a tough assignment for you was the word. And I didn't realize it would just be that. It was my mission for life. But anyhow, while Barbie was being marketed to young girls in 1964, Hasbro gave boys a savage war hero named G.I. Joe. The company attempted to keep the word doll out of the G.I. Joe lexicon, marketing the toy as an action figure.
That's right.
Yes.
While G.I. Joe would eventually undergo changes in persona and appearance, his outsized masculinity remains intact to this day. Yeah.
I had so many G.I. Joes as a kid.
That's
for many
so
years,
cool.
My main one bearded without a leg, but he lasted for a long time that way.
So. Tough fella.
Yeah. Original retail price of $1.95.
Really?
What a deal.
Genius to call it an action figure.
Mm-hmm.
Also, age before beauty, which would mean I go first. I just want you listeners to know before you go in the text line. I get it.
You're the beauty. You're the beauty, Susan. Go ahead.
1962, the chatter telephone. Remember that little telephone with the little smile?
Yeah.
I loved it. In fact, we have a picture of me with it. 1962, chatter telephone. The chatter telephone was created after Ernest Thornell spotted his daughter dragging their phone around the house like a pet. That gave him the idea to add wheels, followed by assorted noise-making buttons. The chatter telephone was originally made of wood, but today's model is commonly made with plastic. I loved all the imaginary conversations. Like, my mom would say, who are you calling? I'm like, Auntie Pauline, and she said that we should have some candy now.
What's crazy about so many of these toys, especially the ones that we're looking at from, say, the 50s and 60s, but I even look back to the 1920s, so many of them have either been enduringly popular or made a comeback.
That's right, because they're so good.
Yeah, I have an emotional attachment to so many different toys and the memories that I had with them and the quality toys. Maybe they don't make them like they used to be. I'm getting older, but...
They do on eBay.
Yes.
Interesting. Sandwiched between 62 and 64 was 63, the Easy Bake Oven. Yeah.
Really? That was that early?
I still want to cook little cakes
with
a light bulb.
My sister Rachel got one of those from Grandma, and we went to all of her tea parties after that because she made us delicious cakes and brownies.
There you go.
Oh, thanks for finding this article. So fun to see Legos and Light Bright. So fun. Animals are surprising, curious, amazing, and we have two kind of interesting stories about animals. First of all, a Colorado woman is the victim of a theft after leaving her garage open, but the culprit is not who you would expect. A bear raided the fridge of Amy Franklin after she left her garage door open, taking $600 worth of frozen meat.
Yeah,
did he have a smaller bear named Boo Boo with him?
No smaller bear named Boo Boo was spotted, but she said the bear was there about an hour and a half, taking everything out of the freezer. The bear also apparently had a sweet tooth, eating a large amount of frozen hot chocolate. That's a bear after my... Maybe he's... That's a bear after my own heart. The second story is in Michigan. Police say they rescued a 12-point buck, gorgeous animal, from a partially drained swimming pool over the weekend. The homeowner in Fraser called police after the animal tried to drink from the pool, fell in, and was unable to get out. Police were able to free the animal and create a barricade to keep it from re-entering the pool, which is exactly what I would do. I'd be like, I'm still thirsty. The incident lasted around 45 minutes. Oh, man. Our police officers, hats off to you.
I'm sure every hunter would say, seriously, I didn't even catch a glimpse of a buck while I was out hunting. And then here one falls into the pool in my neighbor's backyard.
And he's off limits. Well, yeah, hats off to police and that brave woman who was able to hang out with a bear while he was making himself at home.
Yeah, man, it's quite the house guest, $600 worth of meat.
Close your garage doors, guys.
Even better than a picnic basket, I guess, is a freezer if you can find one.
A picnic.
Well, just how kind are we? We found a recent survey commissioned by Vitamin Angels. Not sure what to make of that. Just asked, when it comes to residents of the good old USA, Americans, how many kind deeds, good deeds, does a typical adult do during the month? And again, these include things like being kind to strangers and recycling. So it's not exactly like the bar is set really high, but something's better than nothing. I mean, really.
Yeah.
You know, something's better than nothing. So they say the typical adult is doing about 8 good deeds every month.
Okay, so that's 2 a week. And if they're counting weekly recycling, then
you can
that's 1 a week.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
I mean, and again, if you're looking at it from the perspective of, oh, I'm going to do my good deed today. At least I got half of them done with recycling.
Right.
But again, sometimes, you know, do the right thing and let the feeling follow rather than waiting until you
feel
like being kind or feel like being nice. Just do the right action. And so some of those popular good deeds for Americans.
Be kind to strangers. 55% of those surveyed said they try to be kind to strangers.
That makes me happy. And I think we should do more than that. I mean, and again, as an admitted introvert, that's something that I struggle with. But think about if a stranger just gives you a smile, like, you know, when you almost bump carts in the too crowded aisle at Walmart or whatever, just a little like, hey, we're all in this together type of a moment. Like, that's a beautiful little thing.
But I'm a big door opener. I mean, if I'm anywhere near the door, holding the door for others, and that's a great thing.
I love that. Yeah. And also, I have witnessed you letting somebody on in a on-ramp when we were driving out to the state fair. Little things like that. When someone slows to let you merge, that... I'm sorry.
Give them the rearview mirror wave as well, too.
It's a transformative moment. Sure. You just feel like, hey, we're all in this together. So I try to do that, too.
Uh-huh.
So you're a door opener. How about picking up trash and litter around the neighborhood? 49% say that they try to do that.
Uh-huh. Another 48% on Giving Tuesday say they donate money to charity, not just on Giving Tuesday, but other times. And certainly that's top of the mind awareness here heading into the end of the year.
And I like that too when a lot of these are perhaps on a monthly basis of saying, hey, I'm going to set aside some income. First, again, we always encourage you for your local church, but then finding ways to be generous. Giving money to those who are homeless that maybe they see out and about on the streets too.
Right. And donating clothing to charity, making a point not to maybe sell it or have a thrift sale. Some people say, you know what, this time I am going to donate this to charity like Hope or Goodwill.
Sure.
That's so great.
Uh-huh. Maybe volunteering. 35% talk about their volunteer work or service.
Again, we're going through some of the most popular, I guess, good deeds, acts of kindness that folks reported in a recent survey. Donating food or finances as well to a food bank or shelter. 32% of folks responded said, yeah, they do that on a regular basis.
How about pay it forward, like at a coffee shop or grocery store? 35% of those surveyed say they pay it forward.
Yeah, like for
what
the person behind
surprise.
You. Isn't that a cool thing?
I love
if that's
that.
Ever happened to you, whether it's at a restaurant or a drive-thru or something where it's somebody, I remember going to, what was it, Cancun a while back. And I think I had my wife and we just had two children at the time. And when we went up to pay and someone said, oh, someone paid for you.
Aww.
And I have no idea who it was.
That was me.
I have
Phil.
No
idea.
Uh-huh.
No, JK.
But it was just, I mean, it's such a thing. And what swells up in you is, well, I want to do this for someone else. Right?
Uh-huh.
And
right.
That's what it should be, this chain reaction of kindness.
That's right.
And finally, 12% say they donate blood on a monthly basis.
Much needed.
So, where to go?